So this week, the message is entitled, The War for the Mind. The War for the Mind, okay? So let me read a couple scriptures to you, and then I want to jump into this real quick. Isaiah 26:3 is the first one I want to read to you. Isaiah 26:3 says this. It says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose, say it with me, thoughts are fixed on you. Say it again, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. See that? God is going to keep in perfect peace all who trust in him, all whose thoughts are fixed on him. And then Matthew 15:18, Jesus said this. He said, but what comes out of your mouth reveals the core of your heart. Words can pollute, not food. Words can pollute, not food. So what comes out of your heart reveals the core, out of your mouth reveals the core of your heart. What comes out of your mouth reveals the core of your heart. Words can pollute, not food. This war of the world is fought over one thing, your soul. The war of the world is fought over one thing, your soul. Those angels and demons are fighting for one thing, your soul, my soul. The goal today is to help you see that the war is for your soul, but the war is fought in your mind. You need to remember that. You need to get this today. The war is fought over your soul, but it's fought in your mind. It starts there, and it ends there. So the message is the war for the mind. We were created in the image and likeness of God, weren't we? Amen? Is that correct? We were created in the image and likeness of God. Since we were created in his image, and because we were given a free will, we have the power to create the future. We have the power to create our future. Since we were created in the image and likeness of God, and we were given a free will, I'm going to say it again, we have the power to create our future. Some of y'all don't know what to do with that right there. I'm sitting here like, wait a minute, I thought God created our future. I thought God did this. Listen, I'm going to show you something this morning that's going to blow your mind. Okay, let me give you an example of this. If you make the choice to eat cheeseburgers, french fries, milkshakes, and chocolate cake every meal, every day, and you sit on the couch and watch TV all night, you just created a future of doctor visits, prescription meds, poor health, and financial debt, and broken relationships. Did you not? However, if you make a choice to get out of bed every morning and work out and eat more fish and green vegetables and take walks with your family at night and deposit the extra money that you save because you don't have expensive doctor visits and prescription meds, you just created a future of good health, great relationships, and financial stability. Do you see this? You create the future by the choices you make. If you choose to eat in an unhealthy manner and never work out and never get exercise and sit around all day, if you choose to ignore your family, you just created a future of poor health and bad relationships. There are a lot of people in the United States of America, they say that almost 80% of the people in the United States take some sort of prescription medication. That's a lot. You wouldn't believe, if you go back and look 50 years ago, how that's grown. It's been like something like 800%. Think about that. Many people today take a prescription medication because they made a choice not to do some things in their lives. They made a choice not to take care of themselves. I'm not saying that's everybody. And I understand that our world has done some things, that we've done some things to our food, right? Through green harvesting and all these other things that we've done, the chemicals that we've sprayed on our foods and all those type of things, I understand that they've caused us some problems. But I can tell you from personal experience that there were times in my life, you know, let me just give you an example. Several years ago, I was on several prescription medications for blood pressure and cholesterol and things like that. And then I made a choice to change the way that I live, change the way that I eat, change those things. And today, I don't take any of those prescription medications. Now, what I did was, earlier on, I was creating a future of bad health because of the choices I made. You have the power to create your future based on the choices you make. Come on, somebody say amen. It's true. I'm going to show it to you in the Word of God. It happens all the time. And then that's exactly what Adam and Eve did, didn't they? It's exactly what they did. They had the choice. They didn't have to eat the fruit from the tree of death. God didn't stop them, and Satan couldn't force them. God didn't slap the fruit out of their hands. He warned them and said, you have a choice. You have a choice. You can eat from any tree in the garden, but I advise you not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I call it the tree of death because that's what it brought in their lives. They had a choice to eat from the tree of life, but they chose the tree of death. You're probably sitting here saying, man, you say this all the time. I'm trying to get through to us that we have a choice. If we'll get this inside of us, if it'll get deep down inside of us and we see this for what it is, then our lives will change. We'll no longer blame the things that are happening in our lives on everybody else around us. We'll see that we made the choice to be where we're at. Oh, that I know that stings. I know that stings. I know that hurts. Oh, Pastor Bill, get off that one. Go somewhere else. I'm about to get up and leave this place. Because I know that hurts when I start pointing those things out, that we are where we are because we made a choice to be there. But it's true. Let's stop blaming it on everyone else. I mean, Adam and Eve could have just, oh, the serpent made me do it. The serpent made me do it. I'm here because the serpent made me do it. Their whole lives they could have said that. No, they made the choice to eat the fruit that they should not have eaten. They had a choice to eat from the tree of life. They could have done that. Imagine what kind of future they would have created had they picked the fruit from the tree of life instead of the tree of death. You see what I'm saying? We have the choice. But the choices that we make don't just happen. They're not things that just happen. We don't just happen to make a choice. The choice to eat the cheeseburger over the fish came when you said yes to the cheeseburger and no to the fish. But those words came from your heart. That decision came from your heart. And those words that were established in your heart came from somewhere. I got a diagram. I want to show you this real quick, all right? Let me show you something right here. All right, hold on. I'm not a really good artist, but let me draw something for you. All right, can everybody see that right there? Oh, wait. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Those words came right out of my heart. I'm so sorry. I don't even have a green marker, so... Go blue. Okay, sorry. I wasn't going to do it except for last year, the Sunday after the Michigan State game, Ethan Bricker, our teaching pastor, was speaking, and he rubbed it in bad from here. Right about here he was standing. And I made a mental note. All right. So let's show you. This is a... I drew this. Huh? I'm thinking about joining the creative arts team. Except for all my drawings will look like that. All my paintings will look just like that. So I don't think I'll do it. All right. So. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. So it's Charlie Brown, okay? So think about this. The choices we make start somewhere. They don't start with just the action, just the choice. They start somewhere. The Bible says that what comes out of our mouths starts here in our heart, okay? Or comes from the heart, I should say. But what comes from the heart actually starts in the mind, okay? It doesn't start here and it doesn't start here. It actually starts in the mind and then it's established in our hearts. And then it comes out of our mouths or out in our actions and choices, right? That's where it starts. I know I was joking, but I'm a Michigan fan because somewhere along the line, it started here in my mind. The seed was planted in my mind that they were the best team in all of the universe. I see my Michigan State fans right up there. I see, hey. It started here, then it went to here, and now it can't stop coming out of here. Amen. Thank you, baby. It starts here. These thoughts, it starts in our thoughts. It starts here in the mind, and then it goes to the heart, is established here, and then it comes out of our mouths and out in our actions. Do you see this? Let me show you this again. Matthew 15, 18. Jesus said, "But what comes out of your mouth reveals the core of your heart." Words can pollute, not food. Words can pollute, not food. Let me see if I can show you something else here. I got another drawing, just to be fair. I wasn't looking at you when I drew this, baby. Okay, so this is important. This is important. If you can get past the absurdity of my drawings. I forgot about the hands and feet. Don't worry about that. There you go. Fat hands. All right. So think what Jesus was saying. He said, "But what comes out of your heart, your mouth reveals the core of your heart. Words can pollute, not food." See, this is where we get it backwards a lot of times. We think that what it's the mouth. We think that what goes in is what pollutes us. And this is what religion does. This is what religion does. Religion tries to stop that, tries to stop those actions, tries to stop the symptoms, right? I mean, there's always this battle going on in the church and religion. Just don't drink. Is drinking okay? Is drinking not, can we drink alcohol? Can we drink? I mean, there's this great debate and battle, and Satan has just stirred all this up because it's a monumental waste of time. Because it goes against the word of God. Because what Jesus is saying, it's words that can pollute. What he's saying is it's what comes in here that pollutes. It's what comes in here, not what goes in your mouth. Okay, what goes in your mouth, I mean, not to be crude, but Jesus said this, that comes out as waste. Are you getting this? That comes out as waste. So to be so focused on what goes in your mouth, it's just a bunch of doo-doo. It's my translation. My message, my translation. You see what I'm saying? That's what it is. You're wasting your time on that if you're trying to control that. That's not where you need to start. You need to start right here is what he's saying. You need to start right here in the mind. Because if you can control that, if you can make good choices there, if you can control what you think about and what you choose not to think about, what you choose to take captive and throw out, if you can do that, then whatever you get let established here in the mind goes straight to the heart, and then it comes out. You see this? It's not the other way around. It's not what goes in. And I firmly believe this, that if you allow the word of God to transform your mind, to renew your mind, and you're transformed by the renewing of your mind through the word of God, I believe that's established in your heart according to the word of God. And I believe that changes everything about you. And then the choices you make will be good choices. You'll no longer have this debate over whether to drink or not to drink. You'll make good choices based on what the word of God has established in your heart. So then nothing will become an addiction to you. Nothing will control you but the word of God itself. You get this? It's powerful. If we could just see this, it's so powerful. Look at Matthew 16, 22 and 23. Watch this. Peter took him aside to correct him privately. This is Jesus Peter took aside. Peter took him aside to correct him privately. He reprimanded Jesus over and over, saying to him, "God forbid, Master, spare yourself. You must never let this happen to you." Now watch this. Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get out of my way, you Satan." Who was he talking to? He was talking to Peter. I understand he said, "You Satan," but he was talking to Peter. I understand that many people said, well, he wasn't looking at Peter. He was looking past Peter, looking at Satan. No, I believe he was looking at both. Jesus wasn't just making a point to Satan here. He wasn't just reprimanding Satan. He was making a point to Peter. He looked at Peter. He turned to Peter and said, "Get out of my way, you Satan. You are an offense to me because, listen, your thoughts are only filled with man's viewpoints and not with the ways of God." You see this? That's powerful. He's looking at Peter and he's saying, get out of my way, you Satan. What's he saying? He's saying, you're listening to the thoughts that Satan's placing in your mind. You're listening to those. You're accepting those. You're choosing to meditate on those. And because you chose to meditate on the thoughts of the enemy, they have taken place in your heart and now they're coming out of your mouth. The choice Peter made was to try to stop the plan of God. Think about that. Peter made a choice to try to stop the plan of God. He wasn't thinking about God's plan. He was thinking about his own desires. He was thinking about what he thought might be best for them. And it's not really, I don't want to blame it all on Satan, because he chose to accept these thoughts and meditate on these thoughts, and then they came out in his words and his actions. But Peter's thinking, oh, this can't possibly be a good plan. Because Satan's putting those thoughts there. He keeps attacking him with this. This can't be a good plan. This is a bad idea. Bad idea. Bad idea. This cannot be a good plan. You better stop him from doing this. If he does this, it's going to ruin everything. He came to rule and reign as the king of the universe. And if you don't stop him, it's going to ruin everything. Think about that. Peter's thinking these thoughts. They could become established in his heart. And then he speaks out to Jesus, the Son of God, and tells him, he takes him aside to reprimand him. Bad idea, Jesus. Bad idea. Bad idea. You better stop this idea. And Jesus sets it straight. He said, get away from me, Satan. Because you're not concerned with the thoughts of God. You're concerned with the thoughts of man. He had a choice to make. Satan convinced Peter that this wasn't a good idea. And Peter said, this sounds right. Now let me ask you something. Doesn't that sound familiar to you? Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. Doesn't that sound familiar to you? This is thousands of years later. Thousands of years later. But the tactics of the enemy have not changed. His war is still waged in the mind. He still fights in our minds. He still tries to place these thoughts in our minds. The exact same thing he did to Adam and Eve. The exact same thing. He sat there and said, this doesn't sound like a good idea that you can't eat this fruit. Why would God say you can't eat this fruit? Why would he do that? What's he trying to keep from you? This doesn't sound like a good plan to me. I don't think you should do this. And remember, I want to rephrase this. Remember, we always say this, that Satan, when he puts the thoughts in our mind, he always does it in the first person. He doesn't come to you as Satan and go, hey, I'm Satan. I got a thought for you. Warning, whoop, whoop, whoop. Here comes the thought from the enemy. It's not what he does. He comes and this is how he says it. I don't think that's a good plan. I don't think this is going to work. I wonder what God's trying to keep from me. I wonder why God's taking so long. I wonder why God promised me that he would hear my prayers and he hasn't answered my prayers. I wonder why I have to suffer longer in the situation that I'm in. If God is such a loving father, why is he making me suffer like this? Come on, y'all. Every single one of us in this place have thought that at one time or another. Every one of us has wondered, has thought those thoughts. Why am I in this? Why am I going through this? Why are these bad things happening? Why? And it's always these thoughts that come in the first person, but I'm telling you who's putting those thoughts there. I'm telling you who the originator of those thoughts are, and it's the liar and the father of lies, and he's waging war in our minds to try to change our minds about who God is. This word right here tells us who God is. It establishes it. It's the truth. It always has been. It always will be. Nothing ever changes from this word. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is faithful and true. His word will never leave you nor forsake you. His word will never let you down. So are we listening to the word of God or are we listening to the lies of the enemy? 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Again, the war begins in our minds. Satan has blinded the minds. He knows that if he can blind the minds of the people, that he can steal their heart. Let me just go further with this. In order to examine really how spiritual warfare works in the mind, I want us to look at Psalm 77. Turn to Psalm 77 if you have your Bible. If you have it on your phone, your iPad, or something like that, click there. I want you to look at it on your own personal device or Bible. Pick it up. If you have one of these paper Bibles, if you have it chiseled in stone like Bill Forbes, then you go ahead and pull that out. Love it. Look at this with me. Psalm 77. Let's look at verses 1 through 10 at first. If you don't have a Bible, then you can watch it on the screen, okay? That's what it says. It says, I cry out to God. Yes, I shout. Oh, that God would listen to me. When I was deep in trouble, I searched for the Lord. All night long I prayed with hands lifted toward heaven, but my soul was not comforted. I think of God and I moan, overwhelmed with longing for his help. You don't let me sleep. I am too distressed even to pray. I think of the good old days, long since ended, when my nights were filled with joyful songs. Now watch this. Watch the next line. I search my soul and ponder the difference now. I search my soul and ponder the difference now. Now, think about this. This is what he's doing. He's meditating on these thoughts. Ready for the thoughts? Here they come. Watch. Verse 7. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will he never again be kind to me? Is his unfailing love gone forever? Have his promises permanently failed? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed his door on compassion? I mean, right off the cliff. Meditating, pondering these thoughts. And by pondering these thoughts, now watch, by pondering these thoughts and thinking on these thoughts, they go straight to the heart. And then watch in verse 10 what comes out of the mouth. And I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. Do you see it? Now just stop there. Don't go any further. Just stop there. We're going to examine the rest of the verses in a moment. But look at this. Watch this. He was pondering these thoughts. Pondering these thoughts. Thinking on these over and over again. Laying in his bed at night. Because he didn't hear the voice of God, because he wasn't thinking that God was answering him. He wasn't getting the answer he wanted when he wanted it. And he's laying there pondering and thinking on these thoughts, and these thoughts keep coming to his mind over and over again. Oh, has the Lord rejected me forever? Is his unfailing love gone forever? And he keeps meditating on these thoughts until these thoughts start to sink deep into his heart. And then before he knows it, this is what comes out of his mouth. And I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. This is what happens. This is the war in the mind. This is how the enemy operates. He always has and he always will. Do you know why he always will? Because he cannot. He cannot. He doesn't have the right to go straight to your heart. He can't do it. He can't go straight to your heart. He has no legal right to go straight to your heart. Please hear this today. Because Jesus came, and when he came, he restored. He restored everything that the enemy had stolen. He took back the keys. He took them back, and he gave them to us. He gave us exousia power. That's authority in legitimate hands. And because we received Jesus Christ into our heart and life, he took all of this over, and he lives inside of us, so the enemy can't come and steal your heart. He cannot go directly to your heart. He has to wage war in your mind and convince you to turn your heart over to him. And he has no right to it unless you give it to him. He has no right to it. He can't do it. You can stop it. But the war starts in the mind. So let's look at the rest of this. Let's look at the rest of this in Psalm 77, verse 11. Now watch this. This is what he says. But then I recall all you have done, O Lord. Now watch. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly, say it with me, in my thoughts. I cannot stop, say it, thinking about your mighty works. See this? You see it? They're constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. Now, this is what happens when you allow the thoughts of God to permeate your mind and you start pondering and meditating and thinking thoughts that he has for you. This is what happens, verse 13, and this is what comes out of his mouth. Oh God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. By your strong arm, you redeem your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. When the Red Sea saw you, O God, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depths. The clouds poured down rain. The thunder rumbled in the sky. Your arrows of lightning flashed. Your thunder roared from the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there. You led your people along the road like a flock of sheep with Moses and Aaron as their shepherds. When he started pondering and thinking on the thoughts of God, when he allowed the thoughts of this word to penetrate deep into his mind and he pondered these things, they took hold of his heart, and this is what started coming out of his mouth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. Now, after this, after Psalm 77, the powerful thing about this is, and I'm not going to read it today, but if you look at Psalm 78, it records the declaration of his choice. He made a choice to think the thoughts of God. He made a choice to take captive the thoughts of the enemy and cast those out and think the thoughts of God. And because he made that choice, they sunk into his heart and took hold of his heart and came out of his mouth. And then his choices started changing. All of a sudden, the psalmist, all of a sudden his choices change. And in Psalm 78, it records the declaration of his choice to teach each generation to set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. Sounds like creating a future to me. Hello? I said it sounds like creating a future to me. Imagine what kind of future he would have created had he stayed on the thoughts in verses 1 through 10. Imagine what would have happened in his life. Imagine what would have happened with his children and his children's children and their children. But instead, he decided, I'm going to create a future of hope. I'm going to teach my children and my children's children and their children to put their hope anew in God, that he never fails you. He will never leave you. And he made that choice, and that's what he did. He created a future of hope. He created a future of a promise. He created a future of God's presence in their lives. He established this. You say, well, that's crazy. That's crazy. No, it's not crazy. I'm telling you, we do it every day. I'm telling you, we create our future every day by the choices we make. The choices we make create our future. How many can say amen? It does. Look at Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6 says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. Creating a future. Direct your children on the right path, and when they're older, they won't leave it. You're creating a future, right? You're teaching them to love the Lord, and that's creating their future. Come on, y'all. Ephesians 4:17 says this, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They've closed their minds. Listen to this. They've closed their minds to the thoughts of God. They've closed their minds to the promises of God. They've closed their minds to the goodness of God. They are not allowing God into their minds. And if you don't allow God into your mind first, he can't get to your heart. I said this earlier, that Satan cannot go directly to your heart. Let me say this to you. God will not go directly to your heart. It's true. He wants you, hear me, He wants you to make the choice to listen to him. He wants you to make the choice to accept him. He wants you to make the choice to turn your life over to him, to love him. He wants you to make this choice. And the choice starts in your mind. The choice starts with, I'll listen to this word. I'll read this word. So many people, their minds are blinded to God. Satan has blinded their minds because they refuse to even give it a chance, to even give the word of God a chance. I've talked to so many people who are not believers, and many times I've asked them, have you read the word of God? And the no, and I don't intend to. Well, if you're not going to give God a chance here, he's not going to go around your mind to get to your heart. Oh, come on, that's good right there. Not my notes, just straight from Holy Spirit. He wants you to make a choice. He wants you to turn to him and say, Father, or maybe he's not your father at this time. I mean, you don't know him, they know he's your father. God, show me. Show me. I open my mind to your word. Show me. And if you do that, I promise he will. So this is what it continues to say. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have heard the truth that comes from him, throw off your old deception. I'm sorry, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew, say it, your thoughts. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts. Can I just say this to you? And maybe you need to write this down. When you let the Spirit of God dominate your thoughts, the words that come out of your mouth will be full of life, and your choices will be based on the truth that was established in your heart straight from the thoughts of God. But you got to let God permeate your thoughts and dominate your thoughts. You got to let him come in. I'm going to read one last scripture to you. I want you to stand as I read this. Actually, I'm going to read two scriptures to you. I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 23. Listen to this. It says, listen carefully, my dear child, to everything that I teach you, and pay attention to all that I have to say. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. So above all, guard your affections, the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. Let me just stop here and say this. This scripture that says, fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health to your body. Listen, next week, I don't want you to miss it. Last message in this series, and you need to hear it. I'm going to teach us and talk to us about how to fight this battle with our words. The very words, because this is the thing. Today we discovered that the war is in our mind. It's fought in our mind. We have to understand that. It's in our minds. And we have authority to fight this battle. We have authority to fight the enemy. But the way that you fight the enemy is with your words. You have to open up your mouth and speak truth. And next week, I'm going to show us how to do that. In a very practical way, I'm going to show you, because I know there are many people in this place going, man, I know it's here. I believe that this war is here in my mind, but I don't know how to overcome it. I'm going to show you next week. But this scripture is key. The scripture is key. As you unwrap the words of God, they start to bring life and health to your whole body.